Hey, everyone. This is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Welcome to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti, the two of us again this week. Hope everyone is doing well. If you live in a city or a state that's opening up, be smart. And if you're still under lockdown, sorry to hear that. But know that victory is coming. And let's bring a revival with it, right? A revival.
Yes, absolutely. Revival is coming. Revival is here.
Amen to that. Our guest this episode is professional soccer player Jaylene Daniels. She has a fascinating testimony. Mm-hmm. You don't want to miss her interview. We'll have that coming up for you later on in the show. Our topic is love. Love, 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 love. It's all about love. I've been able to spend so much time with my wife and daughters the past 2 months, and it has been awesome, and I love that the girls have been learning some Bible verses. Yes. So I'm going to bring them in right now to make their Faith on the Field Show debut.
So exciting!
And share with us one of my favorite Bible verses, one of the best. I call it a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Melina, what is the greatest commandment?
Love God with all your heart.
And Alexia, what is the second greatest?
Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself.
Outstanding. Awesome. Thank you, girls. I could go on and on and ask them what other ones they've learned, but we can do that later. Thank you so much. Thank you. Love you. And there you have it from the girls, Matthew 22, 36, 39. Mm-hmm. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. Love, 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 love. It is easy to say, so hard to do sometimes.
Yes.
And we're going to get into a little bit marriages and relationships. But let's start with loving those we don't see eye to eye with on any issues, whether it's political. Yeah. And we don't do politics on this show, but we all know how divided the country is right now and has been. And if we can all just love on each other, regardless, I think we can come to some understandings. It could be differences of opinion on philosophical issues, lifestyle issues,
yeah,
religion, sports, man, sports. People will fight
people
you.
Love sports,
people will
they,
fight
yeah,
you
they,
if you if you don't root for the same team. People will fight you over a sports opinion.
Understand.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't understand.
Well,
that
you
one.
Don't get it.
Yeah,
I live through it. I see
know.
It. But
it
is really something that people do. So it's differences of opinion, whatever they are. I think it's especially important for us, for believers, to show Christ's love, not only within our own circle,
mm-hmm,
and our families, but loving on others, and especially those that we disagree with on those major issues. There are so
right.
many major issues. Because when you read through this, Matthew 22, 36 to 39, there's no but.
Right.
Doesn't say love your neighbor as yourself, but. Jesus didn't say love your neighbor as yourself, but hate those with different political views. Or love your neighbor as yourself, but hate those who sin
yeah.
different than you. Because we're so good at that, I think, as Christians. We're so good at, look what so-and-so is doing.
Yeah.
Look at this or look at that. And I think we really have to fight to avoid judging others' sin, because we all sin.
We
all of us sin.
Yeah, we all sin. It's not, your sin is not different than my sin. You know what I mean? All sin is.
It may hurt people differently.
Yeah. And well, it might look different to you
yeah.
than, you know, my sin could look different than your sin, but the same, it's just sin. It's all leveled at the cross. Everything is leveled. Jesus did not discriminate. It's just sin is sin. There's nothing different. But what he calls us to do is love well. Not just to love, but to love well. Because there's a difference between I love you and me loving you very well. It's not the same, really. Because there's always like people say, oh, I love you. I love you so much. But show me how you love me. You know what I mean? Like, you have to show people how you love them. You have to love them the way Jesus loves. The way he loves us is that We don't have to be jealous. We don't have to keep counting sins. We don't have to keep saying this person did this or this person did that. We just love. It's actually the most difficult thing to do.
Well, it's difficult to love those who don't love us back, to love the unlovable, or those who we think are unlovable, right? We deem someone as unlovable. Why are they unlovable? Maybe there's something going on in their lives that's difficult or something troubling. Like I had an encounter the other day, and I left thinking, maybe I should have done better. Especially nowadays too, because of what's going on. But I was getting, because I'm doing all the grocery shopping and Lord knows how much this family eats. I love that they eat their fruit. The other day, they turned around, you had just cut a whole pineapple, and I didn't have a. They ate the whole thing.
They ate the whole thing. Yeah.
But I'm going through the line at the grocery store, and the woman, an older woman, she's got her mask on. Mm-hmm. And she kind of like, she coughed underneath the mask. And now everybody freaks out, right? I didn't. Mm-hmm. But I had just sprayed my hands with the alcohol.
Yeah.
And I thought that she, and then I smelled something. And I thought that she had sprayed, because sometimes when I go through the same place, they spray every customer afterwards. Yes, they spray. I was like, did you spray anything? She's like, no, you did. I was like, well, yeah, because that's what you do. Right?
Yeah.
And she kind of
got snippy.
Yeah, she got snippy. And then I just felt like I could have handled that situation better. And then I'm like, man, she's grumpy. She's not happy. She seems like she's one of those unlovable people. I don't know how many people she's been going through that day, what's been happening, all that stuff. And we never know, really. We never know what someone else is going through. So we can't allow ourselves. Maybe I could have said something nicer to her. I did thank her for working. I did thank her. But it's different when you have a difference of opinion and it's strong, right? A difference of opinion and it's very strong. And we allow those to lead to fights, lead to arguments, lead to major falling out. How many families have fallen apart over...
Oh, it's crazy. It's
political
crazy.
Stuff, yeah. Over religious beliefs, over so many different things. And I love that we're gonna hear from Jaylene coming up, and she had an opportunity to play soccer for the national team, and she passed on it because of her strong conviction that she did not want to wear a jersey celebrating the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people will, and she faced a lot of backlash for it.
Right.
And she handled it very well. But as we get into the conversation, she talks about, I love everyone. I'm loving them. I'm loving these teammates. And whoever it is, it's not about I'm better than you. She just felt convicted.
Right.
And that's what she chose to do. Yeah. And when we feel a strong conviction or something that's leading us to make a decision that may be controversial, we still have to love on. We're loving on people, and we got to continue to try to love on people as best we can.
I totally agree. And you know, now more than ever, people, as you said, you coughed and people looked at you weird. That's what it takes now. It takes a cough now. It doesn't even take a political view. It doesn't even, it really doesn't. It doesn't even take a team.
That's different. People fighting over that.
Exactly.
Over sneezes.
I mean, you really have to explain your sneeze and explain your cough nowadays. And it's really sad that it's coming to
it's
this
the
point.
Sun. The sun
you know?
Made me cough.
Right.
I got allergies.
I'm like, are you kidding? Like, a cough now is making people hate people.
But you can understand why, though. You can understand. People are scared.
I understand that people are scared, but it kind of, like, makes you wonder, really? Like, this is what we're coming to? Like, this is what it's getting to. It's pretty sad. But back to Jaylene, I understand her point. Like, and not everybody get convicted the same way. Like,
yes.
The Holy Spirit convicts you on different things. And maybe that was her time to dedicate her time to something else other than soccer. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's different.
Everybody's different. We all have different convictions.
Yeah.
We all act on them differently.
Right.
We all pray and feel God speaking to us in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all passionate about different things and different topics.
Right.
But it all falls under no matter who, no matter what, no matter how they believe, no matter how they live, no matter how you act, no matter how you, whatever it is, we are called. We are, Jesus lays it out for us right here in Matthew 22, 36 to 39. Mm-hmm. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no but. Yeah. There's no but. Love everybody.
You know what else?
Everybody. Love? No matter the differences.
Right. I also love Romans 12, 9. Love must be sincere and hate what is evil, cling to what is good, and be devoted to one another in love, and honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fever serving the Lord, and be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. This is kind of the same, it's the same love between a husband and wife. I really love that verse because it speaks about how love should be. Like, it explains it to you, because sometimes people don't understand what love really is. But love is just a sincerity of things. You hate everything that is evil, but you love everything that is pure and holy. And that's how we should love each other, without any limits or rules. We just love one another. And it's the same way we're supposed to love God, and He loves us. That's how we're supposed to love one another.
Is it easy for you to do?
It's very difficult. No, I'm not going to lie. It's been difficult. You know what's been funny? Like, that. It's funny that we're talking about this because the past couple of weeks...
Funny we're talking about this because I sprung this on you last second, too.
That is true. But it's funny because the past 2 weeks, God has been asking me to love well. That's why I said that in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't love well. And that's kind of a struggle because I guess because of my relationship with the Holy Spirit, He convicts me on different levels and on different things. And sometimes He just says, that was not loving well. Like what you just did, that was not loving well.
Did or said. And, yeah, your words could be more difficult. It doesn't have to be an action, is what I'm saying.
No,
yeah, it could be
a
word.
It's not that.
Spoke about this and you did it. You spoke very well about it. You did a great job in the Mother's Day sermon at Pastor Rob's church, and one of the things you brought up was mm-hmm. words being like swords.
Yeah, well, your words are your swords. It's very true.
And when we love people, mm-hmm. we need to be mindful of the words that we use, because words can hurt, and they can hurt deeper someone you love mm-hmm. than someone you don't. Like you say, you go up to a stranger and you say something negative to them, right? Or whatever
it
is. I
don't, personally.
No, I know you don't. Yeah. But for example, they may punch you in the face, but it's not going to be a personal insult to them or personal attack. It's not going to hurt them deeply because they don't know you. Mm-hmm. But sometimes our words with those who we love, whether it's children, whether it's spouse, whether mm-hmm. it's family, cousin, aunt, uncle. Yeah. I liked what you were talking about in that topic mm-hmm. is words being, because when we're talking about loving on people is not just an action. It's the words too that come out of our mouth.
Right. And it's, you have to make sure that you know, like me personally, I have to make sure that I don't get snippy. I don't know if mothers out there I'm sure you experience the same thing, but like yeah. doing homeschooling is not the easiest thing. Not the easiest thing to do when you know what I mean? Like if you sign up for and mindfully want to do it, great. God bless you. I personally did not, so it was sprung on me. I'm not against it, by the way. I actually considered it so many times because I think it's pretty wonderful. But the thing is, the technology part of it is what's getting me. Like, it's getting getting
the
under
answer,
my skin.
I've tried to help a couple times, and I noticed that it's easier.
It's easier if it's on paper.
If you wrote it on paper, the answer would be right there, but then they have to sit there and figure out and navigate through that. But you got to not allow that to get you to mess up the whole.
Right. It's too much. And then plus, I'm finding myself, I'm the one doing the homework most of the time. Like, I'm trying to figure out what to do. So they're frustrated, and I'm frustrated, and I get snippy, and then get annoyed. And it's like the love well part is not happening because I'm like, oh, snap. Like, I'm going down a really bad road.
You know, it's funny that you say, and you're making me think about this, because as you said, the Holy Spirit convicts you mm-hmm. to love well. Mm-hmm. You know, when I feel my strongest conviction is every single time I pass someone who is either homeless, asking for money, mm-hmm. It's something that will always be in my heart, mm-hmm. is Jesus saying the least of them.
Yes.
Love, and that's another verse that we taught them. Yeah. You know, whatever you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do for me. And every time, I didn't tell you this, but I'll share it now. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, I was on my way, I was driving to the airport, mm-hmm. and I saw a guy in the middle of the street, right? And I haven't been, none of us have been using money. We're paying for things, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I look in my wallet and I got a 10. Mm-hmm. I got nothing else.
Yeah.
Right? I meant to give him $2, $3, whatever. All I got to 10. I'm like, I'm on my way to the airport. I have no opportunity to get money. And now I know at some point I may have to tip somebody. Mm-hmm. I gave that dude my $10. Yeah. He looked at me, God bless you.
Right.
Right? I get to the airport, you know, at some point when I get to the shuttle bus to the car rental, whatever, I wanted to give the guy a couple bucks, and I'm like, man, I got nothing. Mm-hmm. So I felt bad that I didn't do that, mm-hmm. but I couldn't allow that moment to pass because I have turned the car around. Mm-hmm. I have turned the car around and gone around. Right. There's just something, and we're convicted differently. And to me, it's every single time. And I know people say, don't feed their addiction. Don't give them money. You never know what they're going to spend it on. And I always say, hey, make sure you spend that on food. And you yell at me and say, well, don't tell them anything like that. Don't say that to them. But it's just how something about it. I can't pass someone who's mm-hmm. asking for something and not think, whatever you do for my brothers and sisters, you do for me. All right. I promised we were going to get on this and we're going to run out of time. But mm-hmm. we were going to mention a little bit about relationships, since we're talking all about love. And I just want to say this. I know that we get on each other's nerves a bit.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful and thankful. And we've done a whole episode on this, and that's why I don't want to have to go through a lot of it right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there's a ton of couples out there with all these stay-at-home orders and quarantine and shutdown and all that who are spending more and more time together. And it's been a struggle, and marriages may be falling apart. And I think that is so sad. And my advice to you is don't give up if you're thinking about it. Communicate. Talk. It's not always peaches and cream, which is a favorite saying of Allen Iverson, and I've always picked it up from AI. It's not, but it so we work on it. Continue to learn each other. I just can't stress enough communication, because the enemy wants to break up families. He wants to do that.
You're correct. Communication is everything, especially for women, because we get in our own heads and just listen to our thoughts over and over, and then our thoughts become reality without being a reality. So women out there, I know exactly what you're thinking, because I do it too. Get out of your own head, get out of your own way, and actually talk to your husband. Talk to him, because sometimes my perspective is completely different than yours, and I see that when I say it, I'm like, I don't even know if that's even true, because when I said it out loud, it sounded completely different than in my head. Mm-hmm. So get out of your own head and just talk it out and have a civil conversation. Just write down the points and stick to those points. Actually, like something in psychology that they do in any
therapy. I love how you're bringing that psychology.
In any therapy session, you have to take some points and speak on these points and do not derail. So every time you go back to past hurts, do not do that. Stick to the point that you're talking about right now. So if you're talking about your last grocery store trip together, that is what you stick to, not the one from 2 years ago. So that's how you fix
that Penn State psych degree.
That's how you fix the problem. We are.
There you go. Good stuff. We could bring that back up. And there was an episode we did about a year or so ago about marriage and relationships. Mm-hmm. But it's all about love. It's all about love. When we come back, you're going to hear a special interview with Jaylene Daniels. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at cairn.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every show, listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, and iTunes, wherever you download your podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram and on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and you can get our episodes delivered right there to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on all our social media platforms. I am at Rob Motti, except on Instagram where it's at Real Rob Motti. Remy is at Remy Motti. Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We will let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're involved in that we're hosting once we can all get together, but we've been doing some stuff virtually, and it's been awesome. Remy had the honor of delivering a message on Mother's Day, a virtual sermon for our good friend, Pastor Rob Pinckney's church, Abundant Life Ministries. You can go back and watch it live on Facebook, on both of her Facebook pages, Remy Motti. This Sunday, I will be speaking at Franklinville United Methodist Church and Newfield UMC, their online worship service, for Pastor Beth Caulfield. You can tune in live 10 a.m. on their Facebook pages and also on YouTube. The channel is called Comfy Cozy Church, so I'm looking forward to that. Our guest this week is Jaylene Daniels. She's a defender for the North Carolina Courage of the National Women's Soccer League. They are two-time champions, and Jaylene is a big part of the team's success. I spoke to Jaylene last week. She's got an incredible testimony. Here is that interview. Jaylene, I want to ask you about a quote that you have on your Twitter bio that I absolutely love. It says, "If you live for people's acceptance, you'll die from their rejection." Explain the importance of what that means to you.
It's kind of funny. It's actually a quote from Lecrae's book, and I believe it's titled Unashamed. It's been a while since I read it, but I remember reading that quote and just, I think the first thing I thought was like, wow, that's so true. And just me as a people pleaser, as much as I was trying to live for the acceptance of friends or family, there was always someone, that just didn't agree or didn't want to be a part of what I was believing or however, you know, it would come to be. And I just remember thinking, I'm just never going to please everyone. And if I'm looking for man's acceptance, there's always going to be someone that rejects it. And then in that rejection, my thoughts are always going to focus on that one person or that one belief that I couldn't, find the approval from. And so I just remember reading that in that book, and Lecrae explained it a little bit as well, but it just stuck out to me in the point of just, it kind of brought this freedom of like, if I continue to try and live for the acceptance of others, I'm slowly going to die. Like, I'm not going to be able to find my identity, my purpose, because I'm going to be striving to find it in others and what they say about me. And so I just felt compelled after reading it. I was like, man, I just feel like this is something to share. Not even just for believers, but I just think people in general, you're going to slowly die and lose who you are, in the process of trying to please everyone around you. And so that's why I tweeted it.
I love that you mentioned how that applies to all of us, because a lot of times we'll tweet something or we'll post something or we'll say something that could be. This is kind of from like Galatians 1:10, where it says, "Am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." But you know, even outside that, outside of being a believer, whatever your beliefs are, if you're living your life to please other people, you're always going to be striving for something and trying to seek acceptance. And I think it's such an important, powerful message that we can share with everybody. Now, I know you grew up, Jaylene, in a Christian home, but how and when did your faith really start to develop into what were your thoughts and your beliefs, and not just of your upbringing and your family and what you knew from being around in a home and in schools and all of that stuff? You were homeschooled, right?
Yeah, I was homeschooled from first to eighth grade, and then I went to a really small private Christian school, in high school. And then I went to Texas Tech University, on a soccer scholarship, which I'm so grateful for and blessed by, and still have, really meaningful, friendships through that. But I think when I really found my faith for my own and started to, build a foundation that I could stand on was in college. I just remember being surrounded, in an environment that opposed to, you know, a private Christian school, there wasn't, all my teachers weren't believers. A lot of my friends and new community didn't have relationships with the Lord, or it was very superficial on this, and then to an extent, similar to, I guess, a lot of my years of just, I knew the right answer. I was raised to know the Lord, and I did truly believe in Him, but I think that it wasn't relational until I got to college and really just had to explore a lot of things on my own. I had to find a church for myself. I had to find believing friends on my own, and so it just really pushed me to a place of, if I was going to walk this out, that it was my responsibility, not my family's, not my mom's. And she really was the rock that helped develop me in my walk with the Lord, which I'm so thankful for. But it just came to a point in college where it was like, I had to seek this out for myself. And specifically an instance, my junior year, I had gotten a blood clot. Just kind of a perfect storm situation, a lot of travel, the medication I was currently using. It just developed this very lengthy blood clot in my left leg, and I ended up having 2 surgeries to get it removed. But the first surgery, I came out of, my parents had flown in while I was in surgery, so the doctor was talking to all of us at the same time, and he had just told us, you know, that there wasn't much that they could do at the time. My vein was 80% closed, so I had all the blood flow going down into my leg, but nothing coming back up. Mm-hmm. And so their next thought was that in the second surgery, they were going to put a stent in, which meant no contact sports. I was going to be on blood thinners the rest of my life. So soccer was about to abruptly stop my junior year. And so I just was overwhelmed with just fear and anxiety of just, this is what I had done my whole life as an athlete. And like, if that's taken away from me, who am I? And so my mom, just being the faith, dedicated believer that she is, she's just like, we're going to pray through this all night. And so I was in and out of consciousness on these pain meds the night before the next surgery. But I remember waking up and my mom still was praying, you know, middle of the night, just pleading more so for the health of her child more than, you know, save my child's soccer career. But I just remember seeing her face and I was just like, man, I'm just going to lift up a prayer while I'm awake. And so I just remember praying to the Lord, and I know that He knows our hearts and the pureness in our prayers. But it does sound like I was testing the Lord. And so I just remember praying to Him and just being, you know, if you just save my career, my time here at Texas Tech, the week it just started, if you allow me to pursue this farther than the doctor thinks that I can, you know, I will boldly pursue you. And so the next morning we went into surgery and I came out, and even the doctor's wording was just incredible. He was just, you know, I don't believe in God. I'm not a believer. But the only thing I can describe this is as a miracle. Your vein was completely open. We were able to remove about 80% of the clot. You'll be on blood thinners for about 3 months, and, you know, you'll go on to do what you thought you were going to do. And I just remember that prayer of just being like, I'm going to pursue you, Lord. Because, I mean, so many times in the Bible, it talks about, you know, if you make a vow and a covenant and a promise to the Lord, it's up to you to keep it, you know. And so I just felt this, like, almost like a desire and just a passion of just like, man, He was so faithful when He didn't have to be. He didn't have to do this for me. He had no obligation to do it, but He did. And so I just remember that being like the real turning point in my walk of just like, man, I just want to know why You're so gracious and good to us when we don't deserve it, when You didn't have any reason to do it, but You did. And so that, I think, was like the real formidable year of where it was just like, man, I want to know God.
What year was that?
That was my junior year, so that was 2013.
2013. Wow.
Yeah.
And I know that you have gone on to a very successful career in soccer. In 2017, you were invited to play for the U.S. national team.
Yeah.
There were the 2 international friendlies that you chose not to play in because the team jersey was going to honor the LGBT community. Tell me about that decision. What went into that decision, and how your faith, prayer, and really obedience to the Word of God helped you navigate through that process?
Yeah, it was a quick process in the capacity that it really only allowed me 3 days to process. But it was really formidable, and really, I think I learned a lot about myself and just the community of believers, and why it's so important. When I'd gotten the call, you know, I didn't really know what to do, and I knew that it wasn't going to be a quick decision of like, oh yeah, I'll do it, or no, I'm not gonna, you know. I felt this weight of just like, I need to seek the Lord first before any decision's made. And so my team chaplain here at the time, I called her. She was actually the first person I called, and I just said, you know, Suzanne, I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do. I'm not sure what I'm feeling. And she just said, you know, Jay, I'm just going to encourage you to reach out to your closest people that you trust, that you know are walking with the Lord, we're going to pray and fast for 3 days. However, any person wants whatever they want to fast, but we're going to join together in that. And at the end of the 3 days, we're just going to believe, you know, that the Lord is going to speak to you, move in your heart. You're going to know what to do, and we're going to move in faith in that. And I just found that so encouraging that her first instinct also is just, you know, we're going to seek the Lord above all else. And so I reached out to my mom, one of my mentors that lives in Washington State. I reached out to her, my sister, and my chaplain. And the four of us just prayed and fasted. And I remember just in that time, you know, none of them offered answers of like, you know, hey, this is what you should do or shouldn't do. But it was just encouraging, like, scripture support of, like, believe that the Lord is going to speak to you. And I know that can sound crazy. And oftentimes, you know, non-believers are like, what do you mean? Like, the Lord doesn't speak to people. And it's not that I heard the audible voice of the Lord, but I truly believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to us in our spirit and through the scriptures. And so I just felt at the end of the 3 days, you know, the Lord really putting on my heart that it wasn't to be a decision made out of, man, I'm any better than you, that I have all the answers and you don't, but just, you know, this is what I have deemed as appropriate, you know, as relationships in marriage and relationships in moving towards that in life. And so I just felt that at the end of the day, the Lord was using this opportunity just to not so much test me, just of trust, because it, in the moment it was like, man, I'm really risking everything that I thought you had called me to and even healed me for. Like, I thought of that situation in 2013 of like, you saved me and allowed me to move forward in this. And then all of a sudden it feels like, oh my gosh, like this might be the end of, you know, all these dreams that I had really desired to achieve and to move forward to. And, but it also from that experience, I think one of the things that I trusted too was that in that prayer of the Lord just reminding me of, you've promised, you know, and you made this commitment that you would follow me regardless of where it took you, regardless of what I've asked you to do, that you would follow me and trust me. And I think that really gave me a lot of hope also, just like at the end of the day, like my faith comes before any other thing in life that I desire, any other platform or job opportunity, career that could come my way. Like, I have to remain faithful in what scripture says, who God is, who he's made us and called us to be. And so the decision was hard because at the time I had to have this conversation with our coach who has a partner and has a child. And I just remember having such cool conversations even with her after this. And I don't know if she saw them as cool, but I just remember conversations that came after it of just, you know, Jay, why do you see it this way? Or what are the thoughts behind this? And it's just been a cool also opportunity just to witness of just like why my faith means so much to me and why a jersey, just even the colors on that jersey, why that would, you know, impact my faith or how that looks. And so it was hard. It was a very tough decision. But I think I grew a ton in that capacity of just not having all the answers even in that moment, but trusting, you know, where the Lord was leading and taking me and holding firm, you know, in that confidence in him.
Well, of course, we know that there's going to be backlash when there's decisions like this that are made, and you had to receive a ton of it, a ton of backlash. I'm sure you had a ton of support and a lot of backlash. How did you handle that, and how do you still continue to handle that from those who may not understand what your faith leads you to choose to do and what not to do?
Yeah, at the time, the backlash was really, I took personal. I felt like it was people were attacking me because I wasn't, you know, a part of the opportunity to wear these jerseys or support a specific community that, you know, even if I don't believe in all of the things that they stand for, that they are still humans. And I could see how, you know, a decision I made would be taken personal even by them. And so at the time, it was really hard of just trying to, you know, believe the Lord of just like, you know, he rejected me first. So you have, and you know, they accused me first. They persecuted me first. And so I just had to go back to this point of like, as a believer, there's always going to be a point in our walk where there's going to be persecution. There's going to be this point of not acceptance. And so I think as time has gone on, I think the Lord has really been gracious and just allowing me to see, even in the midst of a lot of disapproval, a lot of acceptance too, and a lot of love and his love in the midst of all of it. And so I think even now, you know, that people who don't understand the situation. I guess my heart has always been, you know, that there can be this line of, even if I don't support everything that you stand for, I can still love you. And I think that's even like in our day-to-day lives of like, my parents don't even support every decision I've ever made in life, but I know that they still love me. And I think that that has to also be in the forefront of my mind of like, how do I best love people, even if they don't think I support them, even if there's this personal bias between us of just like, the Lord still loves all of his children, and I know that he doesn't support every decision I've even made as a sinner, as a believer, but I know that he loves me, and how do I still reflect that to a community that it is sometimes hard to bridge that gap of just because my decision maybe didn't fit what you were hoping for, that there still can be this love and I think just Christ-centered love, just wanting to still be there for them, even if it's not in the ways that they thought it would be, I guess.
That is an excellent point that you bring up, because in a decision like that, of course, part of the backlash is going to be Jaylene's homophobic and Jaylene is not inclusive and Jaylene. But there's a difference between those terms are ugly terms, those are vicious terms, and we don't always approve of what anyone is doing. Like, I don't approve every day of something my wife may say or do, but I love her, you know? I have two little girls, and of course I'm not going to approve everything they say and do, but I love her. It's some may think that it's a challenge to love people and love on people who share different views. But when you are so grounded in your faith and your identity is in the Lord and you're trusting in him and believing in him, it's really not that hard to love on someone who you have differences of philosophy and views on, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's even within my own family. Me and my older brother are completely different in the sense of even religion. I'm pursuing the Lord with all that I am, and I believe that's the right decision and the only decision. And, you know, he's like, I don't see it, I don't believe it, but we still have a love for each other. Like, I'd do anything for him, knowing the decisions that he's made, knowing the differences that we hold, even within this context of the situation. I know that he also, in turn, would do anything for me, knowing where I stand in a lot of things that don't line up with his viewpoint of the world. And so I think that's also just been a friendly reminder to me, too, of even with the within the confines of my own family, that's being lived out. And so I think, like, how much more could that be lived out, even in the day-to-day relationships with other people, of I can still have a great time with you, regardless of your views on life or what that may look like for you. And so I think that is just sometimes missing, even outside of this conversation of just so many aspects of life, of where it almost feels like you have to agree in every capacity in order to be friends with someone, in order to love someone. And I just feel like that's just so far from the truth. I mean, we are 7 billion people out there. There's no way we're all going to agree on everything. But there can still be this love that's extended between people.
What is your relationship like with some of the players on that team? Because I know there's a strong sisterhood of Christian believers, too, on that team.
Yeah, I've had a couple of conversations with people on my team. I haven't had too many conversations with many of the girls on the national team, but some of the girls on my team who are on the national team, I guess, are where I've had conversations. And it's been cool. And I think it's been sweet, especially on our team here in North Carolina, which I love to talk about them because it really is like this a real example of what this looks like daily, because there's so many people on our team that have so many different viewpoints. Some people are one way on a different idea and another on a different one. And it's like, we still at the end of the day find this common ground, not just on the field because we've been so successful, but I think because we're able to love one another well, support each other, have each other's back off the field, that translates onto our performance onto the field. And so I think that speaks even volumes of our entire team of, like, I think a lot of people think, well, how could the Courage be successful with someone like Jaylene, who has these viewpoints that just seem outrageous and dated and not something that is a part of the movement that's happening, you know, in the world today. And it's like, well, clearly it can happen because we've won all these titles, we've won these championships, and it's because of this capacity of, like, I may not agree with everything you do, but I have a good time with you, I play with well with you, and we're successful. And I think that's even, I like to, at least from my viewpoint, be like, man, like, yeah, I think that even speaks to the fact of, like, clearly there's people on our team that don't agree with everything I do, but still we have a mutual relationship. There's a love and understanding, and when we step onto the field, we do anything for each other, and I think a lot of them would even off the field do things for each other. And so I think that's been cool, and the conversations that have resulted from this have been really sweet also, just an opportunity to share why the decision was made on my behalf and what my faith means to me, who God is to me, why I think it's so important that I surrender, you know, my life, my career to Him and trust Him, that there's an eternal plan far beyond what I can see in these 60, 70, 80 years the Lord may give me on earth.
Jaylene, Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. I know this is a significant verse to you.
Yeah.
Why is it so special in your life?
I think it's become more special over the years just because of the environment that can sometimes take place in my career at opposing stadiums. But I think I've really treasured even since college, and it goes back to just my people-pleasing nature of just wanting everyone to approve and accept everything I do. But even Scripture tells us that everything we do should be to the glory of God, that it should be only for His goodness and His glory to be brought out for man to know who He is. And so I think as long as that's always at the forefront of my mind, not of, you know, even what my coaches could say on a day where I'm just not doing well, or what my husband might say when we're just not doing well together, or vice versa, when I'm having the best day, or like people are like, man, did you see the game Jay had this weekend? It should always root back to of this place of, okay, well, what am I doing that's going to glorify God? Because that's really the only thing that my life is meant for, and the purpose that I'm here is for the glory of the Lord. And so that also just keeps me grounded on my best days and on my worst days of, it's fun and I love to entertain people on the field and do my best and perform well, but at the end of the day, it's just for people to be like, man, she's good, but what makes her good? What makes her enjoy these moments on the field? And I love to tell people it's because the Lord's gifted me in this capacity, and it's just to put a smile on his face.
Jaylene, when we're going through and living through this global pandemic right now, I've been asking so many people, because I always feel that this is an opportunity for us, no matter how dark it looks on the outside and the challenges are difficult and it's horrible to see suffering and everything going on, that God is always working for the good of those who love Him. So can you share what is happening in your life now that maybe you wouldn't have been able to do had sports not been put on hold, had the world had not been shut down? What is a positive? What is a good that's been coming out of everything so bad that's been happening to us?
I think the first thing I can think of is just the amount of time I've been able to spend with the Lord. I think it's easy in the day-to-day distractions to be like, man, I'll just get 5 minutes here in my quiet time, or I didn't get to it today, but the Lord knows. And I think it's really just brought me to this place of, like, there's no other distractions. There's not even other sports for me to watch right now. There's no concerts. There's no group gatherings. There's just, you know, me and my husband are dogs and the Lord. And so I think for me personally, it's been just really my heart's prayer over these last few days, I guess a lot of days, has just been like, I don't want to waste this time waiting for it to end, but how am I using it to grow closer to the Lord and setting a schedule where even when, you know, the madness starts again, the day-to-day routine gets back to whatever the new normal might be, that I've already started these habits of starting the day with my Lord and not just giving Him my leftover minutes or the minutes I can spare, but really that's the first thing that should be happening. And then I think just for me and Matthew, it's just been realizing how fragile, you know, life can be, and just being in the situation of like, man, we can't go hang out with friends. Like, this isn't a time where it's like, oh, we're not in season, so I can just fly home and see my parents. Like, there's these, I think it's just really brought to light of like, wow, we just need to cherish these relationships, and in the midst of suffering, like, how are we being the hands and feet of Jesus, of like, you know, they hear so many elderly people of like just feeling alone, or the retirement homes or families that are losing people from this. And it's just like, you know, how do we extend a hand when it seems like we're on lockdown, but there is so many other things that we can be doing for people to just still feel the love of Christ, even within, you know, the four walls of their homes. And so I think we've just been both challenged, and how do we do that in this time?
Well, Jaylene, thank you so much for your honesty, your transparency, your willingness to be so bold and share your platform and use your platform to talk about the Lord. Truly appreciate it, and God bless you. I wish you a ton of blessings.
Thank you. Thanks so much for chatting with me. It's always sweet just to talk about the Lord.
Amen. That was Jaylene Daniels, defender for the North Carolina Courage. I love her passion for Christ. Really enjoyed that conversation. We'll be right back. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank all of our amazing, wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Rick Santella, the Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Norristown Hospitality Center, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. Thank you to Jaylene Daniels for being our guest this week. Thank you to all of our listeners and followers. Big thanks to Doug Horton for handling all of our business side. He does a tremendous job. Big thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman for all of the excellent work on our website, our podcast, and our blog. Thanks to Ryan, our producer, 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Enjoy FM Sports, for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.